Hey, join in with Brother Shelton in welcoming everyone here today. We're thankful for your presence, and we're glad to have you with us this morning. And this morning, as we think about the time that we have to study God's Word together, I would like for us to focus on ourselves for just a minute under the topic, Helping the Church Get to Heaven. And this lesson is a little different from the typical lessons that I bring, where you have maybe three or four points in the lesson. This lesson has several points, but I don't expect anyone to memorize all of the points that are in the lesson. I don't suppose I ever expect that to happen, really. But for the period of time that we have, usually there's about one thing that everybody gets out of the lesson that they take home with them. And this morning, I would like for you to think about the various different things we talk about and think, well, which one of these applies to me specifically, and how can I focus on that one area and then improve myself? Now, that's not to say that all of these points don't apply to all of us at all times. No doubt they do, but there may be one area that you need to work on more than others. So as we think about helping the church get to heaven, I think that this particular topic is something that we can all really consider because we all want to go to heaven. I don't know anyone who doesn't. And in thinking about helping others go to heaven, we've got to consider in our own lives, you know, how does this apply to me and how can I look to other people and help them as they get to heaven? And what can I do that will positively impact others so that I can help them get to heaven? Well, first of all, let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 21 and verses 22 through 27 for just a moment as we think about heaven and what the Bible says about it. Now, in these verses, we read, these are John's words as he is envisioning the heavenly scene. He says, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." And so what a glorious description then of heaven and what it will be like. And God will be there. Christ will be there. They will be the light. And those who are there will be holy and complete and sinless in His sight. And so heaven is going to be a wonderful place. And as we get this picture of heaven, we turn back to the beginning of the book of Revelation and notice the encouragement that is given to those who are still in this life struggling with the affairs of this life, the temptations of this life. And Revelation 2 and verse 10 just about sums it up. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Let's think about how we can encourage one another this morning to do just that. As we think about helping the church get to heaven, you know, there are so many things that can draw us away from this wonderful goal. And there's so many different ways that Satan can tempt us, whether we be young or whether we be old. And we all hear about people who fall away from the path of Christianity, those who have been deceived by Satan's lies one way or another, to turn aside and no longer follow Jesus for whatever reason it might be. And there are all kinds and all categories, preachers not excluded. So let's think about how we can help each other get to heaven. First of all, we need to encourage the right priorities in one another. Somewhere along the lines, those who decide that they don't want to go to heaven anymore, their priorities change and they become something else. They forget, for example, that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Well, we have got to help each other remember what our priorities are. Jesus said in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy might. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." If we've lost sight of the fact that Christianity is about loving God and loving our neighbor, then maybe we need to have our priorities realigned. Maybe we're not thinking correctly about priorities. Is this something that I can work on? Is this something that you can work on? Paul wrote in Philippians 3, verses 8 through 9, he said, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Now think about what Christ is, or what Paul is saying here. He's talking about priorities. He's talking about things that get in the way of following Jesus. And one of those things, unfortunately, is self-righteousness. And sometimes that can interfere with us putting Christ first in our life. How about you? Are priorities an area that you need to focus on more as we think about helping one another get to heaven? Secondly, we need to know who we serve, and we serve a loving God, and we serve a sacrificial God. When we think about who God is and who Christ is, and we turn to the pages of the New Testament, we find that God is love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God." Christ then is a manifestation of God's love in the flesh, and He came to reveal to us who God really is. John chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten, who is in the bosom of the Father, has declared Him." Paul wrote, Philippians 3 verses 10 through 11, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Paul wanted to know Jesus. He wanted to know God. He wanted to have that relationship with Him. But in order to know God and to know Jesus, we've got to understand who they are. And we've got to pursue that knowledge within our life. If we're going to help the church get to heaven, we've got to help one another remember our identity in God and in Christ Jesus. Is that an area that we could focus on more to help one another get to heaven? It may be for some of you. Number three, we've got to learn how to be selfless. When we think about who God is and who Jesus is, it reminds us of their selflessness and the giving that God does, the giving that Jesus did. When we think about Jesus' life, He taught us to be selfless. In Matthew 16 and verse 24, He said to His disciples, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Are we willing to take up our cross and follow after Jesus to pursue that selfless life of living for others instead of just satisfying our own desires? We read in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. This means practicing the golden rule. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Maybe as we look at our lives and we think about how we can help each other get to heaven, maybe we need to be more selfless. Maybe we need to serve one another more. Is that what applies to our life? Is that an area that we can work on? But number four, we need to be educated to take on the devices of Satan. The church is in large part an institution that provides education, specifically about spiritual matters. The church doesn't provide education about the world and how the world works. The church provides education about God and Jesus and how the church is to be. And sometimes we need to be educated in those things so that we can understand better how to serve, so we can understand better who we serve, and that we can put those priorities first within our lives. When the Bible talks about education, it talks about education in a number of matters. And one of those areas that we need to be educated on is how the devil works to get into our lives to prevent us from going to heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Jesus knew that the church would have to face a world that is full of devourers. And how do we face that world? We do it by understanding who our true enemy is. And that enemy is the devil. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, there Paul gave some instruction to the church at Corinth, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Paul knew how Satan worked. He knew what the temptations were that the devil was going to bring in. He knew the problems that would be associated with the devil's wily ways. And he warned the church at Corinth not to fall into his traps. Oh, Satan is going to tempt us. He knows that we are the enemy. He knows that we are the ones that must be drawn away in order to accomplish his purposes. And so he is going to try very hard to get us to leave the faith. We need good brothers and sisters who are educated on the ways of the devil so that they can help us to avoid the devil's pitfalls. In order to do that, we've got to help one another understand what those things are. And sometimes it may mean talking about some things that are not very pleasant to us because of the way Satan works. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Yes, there are answers available for how to overcome the problems that we deal with in this world and the temptations that arise. And there are those who are educated to answer those questions. Will we take advantage of that opportunity and become educated ourselves? We need to do such. And maybe this is an area in which you find yourself in need and want more help. Education on how to resist the temptations of Satan. That's one of the ways we can help one another get to heaven. Number five, we can help each other get to heaven by developing a sense of community or family that no one would want to leave. And I think this is a very good area for us to focus on this morning. And maybe this is one of those areas that you could do a very good job in. You know, helping the church feel more like a family. There are things that we must resist, but then there are things that we can embrace and draw ourselves to. And you know, this is one of those areas that there is no lack of effort that we could make that wouldn't be effective. That is helping us develop a better sense of being a family and a community. No one can love another person enough. There's always more love that can be given and that can be practiced. Now, we are a family. The Bible teaches as much in passages such as Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And in 1 John 3 and verse 1, John writes, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons or the children of God. Indeed, we are a great family." And this is a tremendous area of that we can encourage one another in. A tremendous area of bonding in which we can participate as a family, because we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And in recognizing that relationship, we can grow in love for one another more and more. Maybe this is an area where you can focus your efforts. Maybe you can help us be a closer family to one another. And that would be a great way to help the church go to heaven. There is also the area of accepting correction. You know, sometimes we do things that we ought not to do in this life. And when we do those things, we need to be willing to accept correction. And a lot of times, this is an area that causes many to stumble and to fall because they simply do not want to receive the correction that is needed in order to get their lives back on track. And so they end up simply saying, "You know what? I'm going to leave because it's just too much for me to take." Well, the Bible teaches us that we need to be humble enough to accept correction in our lives when that is needed. In Proverbs 3 and verse 11, it says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction." The Lord wants us to be corrected, not because He hates us, but because He loves us. And He has a number of ways that He pursues to correct us. And one of those ways is by having a faithful brother or sister sit down with us in a very loving and kind and tender and compassionate way and help us understand what some of our failings may be and then help us to strive to do better. In Hebrews 12 and verses 6 and 7, it says, "For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with children or sons. For what child or son is he whom the Father does not chasten?" In Revelation 3 and verse 19, Jesus said these very plain and simple words, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." He said this to the church at Laodicea, a congregation that had a lot of spiritual problems. And yet, He loved them enough to go to them and to talk to them about the issues that they had in their congregation. Maybe this is an area where we can be of service to the Lord's kingdom. It's a difficult area to be of service in, and it's one that requires a tremendous amount of challenge. But nevertheless, it is needed. If we want to help the church get to heaven, then maybe we need to be involved in helping others understand the need to accept correction. And we ourselves need to look to ourselves and think, maybe there's a way in which I can be corrected. Jonah was a person who needed correction, and he finally confessed these words in Jonah 2 and verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He finally understood after having experienced a very difficult and troublesome situation that if he had just obeyed the Lord to begin with and done what was right, then he would not have gone through a tremendous amount of suffering. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Ultimately, we reject the mercy of God when we refuse His correction. Maybe this is an area that we can help ourselves in by accepting correction. But another area in which we can work to help the church go to heaven is by letting heaven motivate us. You know, we sang a song this morning, "Sing to Me of Heaven." And that's a tremendous way to help the church go to heaven, is by reminding us what it is that we're striving for, what it is that we're looking toward. When we think about heaven, we can think about a tremendous result, a tremendous end for all Christians, where they will be forever. And in order to make heaven our goal, it would help us if we didn't focus so much on this world and this life and the things that are attractive in this world, but instead look to heaven and the things that are attractive about heaven. That's what Abraham did and all of the faithful in the Old Covenant. Hebrews 11 and verses 13 through 16 said that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from which they had gone out, they might have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. And that great heavenly city was one that Abraham looked for. That great heavenly country was one that Isaac and Jacob looked for. And all of the faithful who have gone before us have looked for that country. And it is now upon us to recognize that that country is waiting for us, that that city is waiting for us, and that we can be part of that great throng of faithful who have gone before us and there live with God in Christ in eternity forever, enjoying the blessed fellowship of love one for another. What a great motivation heaven is. And maybe this is an area where we can exercise our talents of helping one another get to heaven by reminding us what that goal is and how we can work on it together. Let's let heaven motivate us to get there. But then there is another area where we can help each other go to heaven, and that is to be actively involved in the work of the church. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1 we read, "We then as workers together with Him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." As workers together with Him. God sees us as individuals who have a work. And God has a work. And He wants us to work together with Him. And here is a great area that we can encourage one another to go to heaven. And how is that? Because there's so many good works that can be done. There are opportunities to work with the youth. There are opportunities to work with and visit the elderly. There are opportunities to work to put out our publications and to work with the internet work and to be involved in personal evangelism. There's work around the building that needs to be done for the upkeep. There is work that can be done in regard to community service. There's so much work that we can do as the church to help one another get to heaven? Do we want to do that work? Maybe this is an area where you can look to yourself and say, you know, I could do more for the church and for the kingdom to encourage others by my work to help us get to heaven. Next, there is a need for real commitment. You know, commitment is something sometimes I think that we don't appreciate very much in our society. One of the things that Psalm 15 tells us about those who dwell with God in the tabernacle of God, or those who God wants to dwell with Him in His holy hill, are the ones who swear to their own hurt and do not change. Now that's commitment. That's what that verse is talking about, being committed to the Lord regardless of what may come our way. And you know, that's tough to do sometimes, especially when things aren't quite going the way that we think they ought to go. You know, there's God's, our plan, and then there's God's plan. And a lot of times, our plan doesn't mesh up with God's plan, right? And what does it take in order to get through times when we wonder what God's plan is, because our plan isn't going quite the way we expect it to go? It takes commitment. It takes trust in the Lord with all of our heart and leaning not to our own understanding and always acknowledging Him. And then He directing our steps, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And so when we think about commitment, we've got to think about things, areas in which we commit ourselves to the Lord, such as committing our time, such as committing our talents, such as committing our finances, such as committing ourselves to one another. Do we really want everything that we do in this life simply be devoted to maintaining what happens in this life? Or do we want to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven? Well, I hope that it's the latter that we want to do, and that we're not in love with the mammon of this world. We think about how much the Lord was committed to the cause. He was fully committed, was He not? Did He not give everything? He gave Himself for us that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God the Father, Galatians 1 and verse 4. Yes, He gave all. That's real commitment. Maybe we need more commitment. And in that way, we can help the church get to heaven. And then finally this morning, sometimes we need to reevaluate ourselves and think about how we can be more zealous. You know, it's easy to get complacent and apathetic. And we think about the church being sometimes apathetic toward the work because we don't see the zeal around us maybe that we've seen in times past. And zeal is something that we can engender in one another. Jesus wants us to be zealous. Titus 2 and verse 14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. If the cross of Jesus Christ doesn't move us to zeal, why, nothing will. And we can help one another get to heaven by reminding each other of that cross, and reminding what Jesus did for us, and reminding us to be zealous for the Lord and His works. Paul said, I will gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you. He says, sometimes it seems like to him, the less he is loved, but nevertheless, he would spend and be spent. And that's what we need to do as well in our zeal for the Lord. 2 Corinthians 15 and verse 15. And so we need to reevaluate and pursue zeal. Well, maybe there's an area here this morning that we've discussed that you can think about how you can help the church get to heaven. Maybe it's priorities. Maybe it's knowing more about who we serve. Maybe it's learning to be selfless, or education on the devices of Satan. Maybe it's that sense of family that we need to work on, or learning to accept correction. Maybe we need to just let heaven motivate us, or be actively involved in the work of the church, or be really committed. Or maybe we need more zeal. Perhaps this morning you can find where you fit in to these ways to help the church get to heaven. If you need to become a child of God, we want you to go to heaven. And we want to help you do that. And you can do that this morning by hearing His Word and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And so start your journey on the way to heaven. And hopefully we, if we're doing our jobs, will help you to get there. And you can help us also. We want you to help us. Maybe you need the prayers of the church so that you can be more actively involved in helping us get to heaven. And if that's your need this morning, then we want to pray with you and for you. And whatever your need may be at this time, we invite you to make it known while together we stand and while we sing.